pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast. Hello, I'm your Admiral Batman of all things comic book, J.M. Bell. Joining me today... from the far north, pert near Idaho, our punk pixie, Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
How'd I do?
Hi, guys.
How was
there
that?
You go.
Did I nail it?
You nailed it. That was great. Pert near Idaho,
Near Idaho. Could you pop over the border and grab me some lotto, please?
God, I might soon, because it's creeping back up there, I think.
I could. I don't care. Like I said, it's...
Well, we'll take anything.
Murder a hobo for about $100 at this point. Okay, I'm obviously not serious.
Obviously, you're
joking. I can feel engagement finally starting to move out there in social media land with the, we don't use the word hobo, you're murdering a houseless person.
Right? Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Show some respect.
Right.
How was your week? How'd you do?
You know, it was not too bad of a week overall. I got to meet up with a good friend of mine and have lunch yesterday. That was lovely. I got to go and visit my favorite comic book shop yesterday as well and see you and Braxton, which was also lovely.
I love that.
I did not get my floor mopped yesterday like I intended, so that's not so great. But, you know, I got today to do that.
That's fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, mopping.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, mopping. Yay. How about you? How was your week?
I had a pretty shitty week, to be honest. Started out strong. Started out solid. I mean, I don't think I've had very many better Mondays in my life. And then Tuesday, everything just seemed to go to hell.
Lame.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And it just, I don't know, it just gets dumber and dumber as the week goes on. It's, I mean, it's that inexorable march towards rent, you know, and the predatory nature of the fact that every apartment I have had until this place, you got until the 5th to get your rent in.
Right.
Because people usually get paid round about the 5th.
Right.
This place is like the 3rd. And even on a weekend, they somehow magically find a lawyer to put the warning on your door. Even if you pay. I paid a couple months ago. It was like 12:15. And it got paid, but it was 15 minutes into the 4th. And I got the letter on the door from the lawyer. You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I have a feeling the magical lawyer is just a copy machine.
Yeah, I would suspect.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, that's just sort of the predatory place that I live, and we're looking for somewhere better, hopefully with a yard.
Yeah.
These four-legged idiots that live here just could really use some grass to run around on. Vent their spleens. So if you know anywhere that's renting, you know, let me know.
Well, you know, I've seen a couple of signs, but I'm clear up here pert near Idaho. And I know how you feel about Davis County in general, so...
Well, it's full of Republicans.
It is full of Republicans. I do admit that.
Yeah. So that's all. I don't want to go bankrupt replacing pride flags in my yard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I'll be honest. My neighborhood, I through Project Rainbow, get a pride flag every, you know, important pride event time. And mine has never been stolen out of my yard. Now, I don't keep one up all the time.
Yeah, I would.
But, yeah.
I'd do that, you know, that fuck your feelings. Trump lost 2020 flag up.
Yeah, there are plenty of Trumper flags around my neighborhood. We flip them off as we drive by.
Of course.
Yeah, like you do. Yeah. Everybody's making it right, man. So anyway,
that about wraps that up. You want to do some news?
I don't know that I actually do want to do the news. Can we skip that this week?
No.
Or do we need to cover it?
We got to do it. Let's just get it over with.
Let's do it.
Pull off the band-aid.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Star of the pilot episode of Highlander, the series, Richard Mall, played the bad guy. I don't understand what they're talking about with this night court. I got nothing.
I love Paul in Night Court. That stupid show. I haven't thought about that show in years.
No.
I loved it.
You know, there's a new Night Court on now.
Yeah,
and
I
it's
know.
the blonde squeaky girl from Big Bang Theory playing Harry's daughter.
Okay.
Because I believe, and I have seen zero episodes, but I believe it's because Harry's dead in that universe.
That happens.
Yeah. So
as is Bull now. So
yeah. 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 Spent 8 years as part of Night Court before ending the series by being voluntarily abducted by aliens.
Yeah. I know. I'll admit, like, I barely remember Night Court. I have fond memories from when I was a kid. I read that and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. I don't remember that. Yeah, he was even, he played Two-Face in Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah.
He was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy. What else we got? The Sword and the Sorcerer, Maelstrom, The Destruction. And then Night Court, and as I mentioned, Highlander. He played the bad guy in the first Highlander TV show. You know, where Christopher Lambert actually showed up.
Right, right.
It was bad. Yes. It was terribly bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Piper Laurie, 3-time Oscar nominee who starred in Carrie and The Hustler, has passed away at 91 years old.
That's a respectable age.
That is a good run right there. Piper Laurie, who blossomed as an actress only after extricating herself from the studio system, went on to rack up 3 Oscar nominations. Her manager, Marion Rosenberg, confirmed the news to Variety, writing, "A beautiful human being and one of the greatest talents of our time." If you haven't seen 1961's The Hustler, she was fucking brilliant in it. And she was really, really good. Carrie, she was great in Carrie. What else have we got? Working our way through time. The Glass Menagerie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tim, the boss's son, returned to Oz. She did some TV work playing in the Judy Garland biography Rainbow, 1981's The Bunker. The Thornbirds, if you're of an age, you might remember the Thornbirds. Oh, what a steamy television production that giant turd was, but it was the 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah,
of that particular time,
of, gray of that era.
Yep. Yeah, because it was basically what's his name, Richard something, and he played a naughty priest.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, she was on ER, Touched by an Angel, Diagnosis Murder, Will and Grace, Law and Order. She was on Eulogy for a little bit. The Dead Girl, Hound Dog, Hesher. 91 years old. Richard Roundtree, Shaft, has died at 81.
Again, respectable age. Respectable.
Sort of. My dad's older than that, so I don't like it yet. But he played that bad motherfucker.
He did.
Just talk about Shaft. Yep. He was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1993 and had a double mastectomy. Breast cancer is non-gender specific, he said 4 years later, and men have this cavalier attitude about health issues. I got such positive feedback because I spoke out about it. It's been quite a number of years. Now I'm a survivor. He also portrayed the title character opposite Peter O'Toole in Robinson Crusoe's Man of Friday, featured as an army sergeant opposite Laurence Olivier as General MacArthur in the Korean War drama Incheon. That was a good movie for what it was. City Heat with Burt Reynolds. He was in Roots. He played the carriage driver Sam Bennett. Yeah, the dude had more than Shaft.
Let's be honest,
Shaft is iconic.
Right. Yep. Right.
So anyway, Richard Roundtree passed away. Friends star Matthew Perry has passed away at 54. The early reports say drowning.
Yep.
I have a sad feeling it might be something else that led to a drowning.
Same.
But yeah, you might recall him as Chandler Bing on Friends. Could I be any more depressed about this? Thank you.
I mean, that's it. That ends the show right there. You just finished it. We're done.
I did.
See you guys. 10 minutes in. We're out.
Yeah, apparently he drowned in his hot tub.
And posted a picture on Instagram the night before in his hot tub.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, I can't even utter where my head has gone. Let's move on, shall we?
Oh, dear. Yes, we shall.
We're going to take a break when we get back on the other side. I believe we'll be talking about television and movies.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
So, what have you been watching this week? Let's start with Jocelyn.
We're going to start with me, really?
Yeah.
That's par for the course around here. What did I watch this week? I continued my viewing of the MCU in release order. I hesitate to say I'm watching these because, number one, I've seen them all so many times, like I just know them, and they're just kind of on in the background. But sure. I am up to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 at this point.
Ah.
So that's where I'm at there. I watched Werewolf by Night in color. I know you watched that this week too, right?
Kinda.
You had that on?
We had it on at the shop, and I don't think I paid much attention to it, to be honest.
Fair. I wanted to see how you felt about it in color, but if you didn't pay attention, then you probably don't know.
No, maybe we can talk about it next week. I'll try and watch it in color this week. I'm really interested. From what I was talking to somebody who had watched it, and he's like, you know, the coolest thing was, is there were all these blood spatters I didn't notice in the black and white.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. That sounds awesome. Maybe we'll try that.
Watch it this week. Pay attention to it. Let's talk next week about that one for sure. Cause it was interesting for sure.
Yeah.
I finished season 2 of Only Murders in the Building, which is not really comic booky, but it's still kind of fun and quirky and interesting, and people should be watching it. I have started watching a show on Apple TV called Lessons in Chemistry.
Oh, we started that too this week.
Brie Larson. Yeah. So that's been fun. Again, not very comic booky, but it's Brie Larson. So you know, I'm going to mention it.
Yeah.
Plus it's science-y and it's...
We don't know. There might be a kitchen accident that leads to superpowers. We're not at the end yet.
That is very true. Very, very true. I watched the movie See How They Run, which, again, not comic booky, but Agatha Christie, and was a really good movie.
That is a good movie.
So, a great movie. And then I watched Loki. Did you watch Loki this week?
I did. Is that your last one?
That's my last one.
Well, let's transition on Loki then.
We can do that.
Bit of a cliffhanger there at the end of episode 4.
Little bit.
You know, if nothing else, it proved string theory.
Right?
Yeah, wait till you guys see the episode. You'll know what I'm talking about. No, I still have very little idea what's going on.
Yeah, and I'm glad you say that, because I'm like, I don't know where we are, who these people are.
All we're trying to do is keep the main, the sacred time stream from rupturing and blowing up the TVA and all of existence. That's where we were at the end of episode 3. That's where we are at the end of episode 4. I think there's only 2 episodes left to go. You know.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed that they survive, I guess.
What's her name that plays Sylvie?
Isn't she so good?
She's even better this season, and she was good in the first season.
Right.
Hiddleston's great.
Oh, of course.
You know, I'm just enjoying everybody up to and including the scene-stealing short round.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Kiwi-Con?
Yeah.
Kiwi-Con?
He's just a fucking delight. I want him in everything.
Right.
You know,
I do too.
Stick him into Law and Order. I don't give a shit. Put him in there. Grey's Anatomy. Put him in. That's what I want. I continued my hesitant watching of Moonlighting.
Oh.
I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. Now, a good deal of it is quite cringe, going back all those years.
I bet, actually.
Yeah, the way that that he talks to her, you know, not so great most of the time. Pretty unwoke, to be honest.
Pretty sleepy.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I'm wondering, I mean, maybe there's music missing, maybe something's different, or it could just be that. In my head, because I was denied it so long, I've romanticized this show so much that it couldn't possibly live up to my expectations, which is what I think is happening.
I suspect. Yeah.
Got caught up on Welcome to Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. And that Wrexham women's team, holy shit, made it through their season completely undefeated.
Shut up. Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
They got to play their league finale at the race course. When you consider the field they normally play on, I mean, that was huge. And the whole time they're playing, I'm just sitting here having little emotional bubbles, just little single tears just popping out from time to time because I was just so proud of the Wrexham women's team. It was awesome.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's
it was good.
Awesome.
I am trying to get caught up on Doom Patrol. It turns out I'm even further behind than I thought.
Well, you're better off than I am in Doom Patrol. I think I'm still in season 1.
Yeah. Season 2 gets great. Season 3 gets great. And then I can't wait for this last season. But it's still fucking weird. It's just a weird ass show. And I love it so much. I can't stand it. And then Star Trek Lower Decks. Star Trek Lower Decks was a nice little backgrounder. We got to figure out what everybody's been doing, how everybody's feeling, why Mariner is out of her fucking mind. A lot of growth moments in this episode, which is weird for a cartoon, but there it is.
That's fair, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So other than turning on Werewolf by Night... I didn't actually watch it.
Fair.
So yeah, I basically listened to the preview of whatever the fuck they stuck before it, and then looked up what felt like minutes later, and it was already over because it's only an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's quick.
Yeah.
It's quick.
So, yeah, we've been trying to keep things Halloween-y over there at Dr. Volt's. Dr. Volt's Comic Connection at 2043 East, 3300 South in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's Utah's longest continually operating comic book location. Just throwing that out there for no reason whatsoever. No, we did. We had a big sale on Saturday.
Yeah.
Gave away some Pokemon for the kids and some comic books and all sorts of other fun stuff. And that went well. Until Halloween, I've got packs of comics for kids for sale. And some other ones as well for maybe teens. I mean, it's all pretty cool stuff. You guys got to pop over and see us. At the very least, hit us up on Instagram or Facebook where we are. I apologize to any TikTok fans. We haven't made a TikTok in a while. We kind of forgot that we were doing that. I feel bad. I'm very sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry. No, I gotta make Braxton do a TikTok again.
There you go.
All right. You want to do some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Marvel's Daredevil, Born Again, has landed Netflix's Punisher producer as the showrunner. Loki's Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead are also on board, I believe, for directing. But in the wake of Disney's decision to effectively reboot the Daredevil series, the anticipated series featured Charlie Cox and Matt Murdock. It's got a new showrunner, Dario Scardapane. Scardapane talks like this. Got his hands going. We'll take reins as the new showrunner. Leading a new writing team in the wake of the departing writers, Ord and Corman, Justin Benson, Aaron Moorhead, other directing team coming off Loki season 2 have been tapped to helm the remaining first season episodes. So, Scardapane is a veteran of Netflix Marvel shows, having served as executive producer on The Punisher. His other credits are Jack Ryan, which is great,
right,
and State of Affairs, which I have yet to watch.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but that's okay. Yeah, I'm excited. I hope this means good things for that show.
Yeah, me too. Fallout, the video game, has a TV series coming on Amazon Prime. And we finally got sort of a teaser trailer and a release date. Sweet. Now, release date, I believe, is April 14th, 2024. Of all the video games I have ever played, and I will say this, even though I think I heard somebody else say it too, this one is probably the easiest to adapt to a series. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's sets and costumes are probably being nutsy, but once you get past that, with the way CGI is these days, this is an infinitely, infinitely playable TV show. Where you could just go wherever you want. It's open world. It's like fucking Skyrim over here. It's great. You know?
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
I'm excited that the showrunners are Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, who were the showrunners on Westworld, which I loved. Loved, loved, loved that show. So,
that was a good show.
Yeah. Excited.
That is.
That'll be good.
SAG-AFTRA has issued some strict Halloween costume guidelines for striking actors. The union is prohibiting actors from dressing up as popular characters from struck content and then posting the images on social media. That means some of the most popular Halloween costumes this year, such as Barbie and Wednesday Addams, are not allowed. Instead, the guild told members on Thursday to choose costumes inspired by generalized characters and figures, ghost, zombie, spider, etc. Members can dress up as characters from non-struck content, however, like an animated TV show. Marvel superheroes, however, not allowed, despite having comic book roots because they're owned by Disney.
Right.
Even among
Fair. Totally fair.
Even among the most devoted union card-carrying member actors, some thought the rules were a little over the top. Mandy Moore, is this a joke? Come on, SAG-AFTRA. Why is this important?
I don't know.
I'm on it. You have to make a financial dent.
True.
Buying costumes for struck characters is financially rewarding to the people that we're striking against.
That is true. So that is a very true statement.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me, Mandy Moore. I'm sorry you can't wear your Barbie costume this week.
I clicked on an article. I almost sent it to the group, and then I read the actual article. So the headline was about Wednesday and about Jenna Ortega. Jenna Ortega will not be as Wednesday anymore, something to that effect. And so I read this whole article, and I kid you not, somebody got paid by the word, because it was essentially this story about that she couldn't dress up as Wednesday because of the strike.
Yep, clickbait.
But boy, was it a long article. Made me laugh.
Yeah, no, it's that sort of stuff is everywhere. I would say I would say that the Comics Gate links, where it's just misogyny wrapped up as fandom, those are ones I watch. I have a hard time watching out for, because I'm trying to find news all week, and so I'll click on those, and I get about two paragraphs in, and I'm like, "Oh, it's you assholes again." and then, that and paywalls.
Right.
Which, you know, we don't have as much on this show, but, you know, somebody will put up a link to a cool thing, and then I got to go out and find a non-paywall link to the cool thing. Because I don't want anybody that listens to any of the shows that we do here to be unable to read the source material we're quoting and opining on.
Absolutely agreed. Yeah.
So with that, David Tennant will front a BBC Four documentary delving into classic Doctor Who, ahead of the TV show's 60th anniversary. Talking Doctor Who, we'll see Tennant, who played the 10th Doctor and who is now returning as the 14th Doctor for the upcoming 60th anniversary specials, travel back through BBC archives to tell the story of classic era Doctor Who. It will also include archive interviews from past Doctors, including the late William Hartnell, who played the 1st Doctor, through to Sylvester McCoy, who played the 7th.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Nice.
Oh, I mean, I will watch it. There's no doubt about that.
Same.
All right. Yep. That's it for TV.
Woo!
We should take a break. You want to take a break?
Yep.
All right. When we get back on the other side, we're talking about comics.
Woo woo!
My name is Peter Davison. I played the 5th Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
And now, it is time for some comic book news.
Yes, it is.
Oh, no. Comic book news. What shall I do? I am not ready. Yes, I am. I'm ready as hell. I was born ready. DC Comics division head Pam Lifford is leaving Warner Brothers Discovery. Part of a shakeup of the Warner Brothers Discovery consumer products. It's all part of a reorganization of their consumer products and franchises division. Bruce Campbell. Nope. Just some random dude, not Bruce Campbell. I mean, how would that be to have to live your life with the name of somebody 10 times more awesome than you could ever hope to be?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, Bruce Campbell's coming. Yay! Oh, it's you, Bruce.
Yeah. It's nuts. Lifford, whose title was President, Warner Brothers, Global Brands and Experiences, is leaving to, quote, focus on a family member's healthcare needs, end quote, the company said on Wednesday. This is almost literally the same reason they gave when former DC head Diane Nelson stepped down back in 2018. Come on, folks. You're running off a woman of color. Try and be a little bit more, I don't know, profound. Maybe dig a little deeper than I got a sick family member. How about you guys don't like it when women are in charge And if a woman of color is in charge, that's got to be especially odious to the white billionaire running the fucking show. He says, right. Apropos of nothing whatsoever, I'm just, from what I can tell, I'd say 9 out of 10 billionaires are mostly just fucking racist douchebags.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm basing that almost entirely on Elon Musk.
Fair.
Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos a little bit, because I think that he was a little too upset when his wife was like, I don't care how many billions you have. You're a garbage person and I want out.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. You know, I'm not saying that that Lifford was great. You know, I know very little of her thing. What I do know is that of the big three, Image, DC, Marvel, DC's been doing some shit right. I don't know if that has anything to do with this lady or not.
Right,
you know, but
right.
if it does, and they go back to more fucking crises, you know, that destroy readability.
Right.
You know, I know who to blame.
It's true.
DC's Dreamer is getting a graphic novel from Supergirl's Nicole Maines. I think we've talked about this before, but in the January 2024 solicitations revealed the first official details around Bad Dream, a Dreamer story. First announced in DC Pride in 2022, we now know that Bad Dream, a Dreamer story, will be available to purchase April 2nd, 2024. 208-page graphic novel will be penned by Nicole Maines, who originated the character of Nia Nal, Dreamer, on the CW Supergirl series. Ta-da!
Oh,
yeah!
Very nice.
So that's great. We've got Ms. Marvel, and now we got Dreamer. Both.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's delightful.
I think it is, too. I love it.
Yeah. This should be fun. What else we got? Star Wars announces a Mace Windu and Jango Fett series. Not together, separate. They're not tooling around, you know. But they're going to the prequel trilogy era with two series focusing on fan favorite characters. Mace Windu, motherfucker. And bounty hunter Jango Fett. Jango Fett.
Okay.
That's Boba's dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he wore the blue suit, I believe. Yeah. Anyway, they'll be published by Marvel as miniseries, announced during the Lucasfilm Publishing panel at New York Comic Con, along with other titles, including an all-ages graphic novel starring Obi-Wan Kenobi and Qui-Gon Jinn, published by Dark Horse and Marvel's entry into the Phase 3 of Star Wars The High Republic. Marvel will also adapt Timothy Zahn's novel Thrawn Alliances, which features Thrawn's team up with Anakin Skywalker during the Clone Wars into comic book form. That's fucking great. I've been wanting to read that book. I would much rather buy it as a comic book, to be honest.
Right, right. Yeah, it sounds like a good comic book.
Switching over to the more intellectual franchise, Star Trek, Son of Star Trek, has announced a series called Star Trek, Sons of Star Trek. It's going to be Jake Sisko and Alexander Rozenko taking the lead in the upcoming Star Trek series. The stuff that IDW is putting out for Star Trek keeps winning awards. It's really quite good. But yeah, this will expand in 2023 with Star Trek Sons of Star Trek. A 4-issue miniseries announced during the Boldly Going panel at New York Comic Con. The 4-issue series spins out of the Star Trek Day of Blood Star Trek series and its Star Trek Defiant spinoff. So it's Morgan Hampton, who wrote Cyborg for DC. He'll be writing it. Veteran Star Trek comics artist Angel Hernandez is drawing the book. It'll be out in early 2024.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
And then my favorite news of the week. A new John Constantine Hellblazer series has been announced by DC. It is going to be Black Label, which, as what we know, is great value Vertigo.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
But, Constantine is headed back to the pages of DC's comics with a surprising catch. On Saturday, during the DC's Coming Up in the DC Multiverse panel at New York Comic Con, the publisher announced the first details surrounding John Constantine Hellblazer, colon, Dead in America.
Ooh.
Eight-issue miniseries starts up January of 2024, published under the Black Label imprint, and will continue the narrative of Cy Spurrier and Aaron Campbell's previous John Constantine Hellblazer series. In Dead in America, Spurrier, Campbell, and colorist Jordy Belair will partner for what is being called the second act of the Constantine saga. All I know is they got huge shoes to fill.
Yeah, they do.
Huge mungus. Especially when you see that hardbound copy of Hellblazer, just the Garth Ennis years. You could use it as a weapon.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. So, that went really fast.
It did.
We're at the end of the show.
I'm very proud.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We got to talk about what we read.
I don't normally do this stuff. So let's do that.
That's why
today,
we're doing it together.
Today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's... No, that's wrong.
No.
What have you read this week?
There we go.
Thank you.
I read this week? You know what? I actually sat down. I made a dedicated effort. Do you know how many backlogged comics I have? It really kind of depresses me. It's so much. But I put a dent in it. I picked up... I read The Secret War on Weed. Secret War on Weed.
Wasn't that fun?
That was fun. Now that was released last year, and it was just buried in a pile, and I found it and went, oh, I don't think I ever read this. So much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. If you guys didn't read that, you should. What did I read? The Sensational She-Hulk number one. I was not previously reading She-Hulk. It is a new jumping on point. It's a continuation. It's still Rainbow Rowell as the writer.
Yep.
So it was fine. It was a new setup book. I mean, I'll read it. I'll keep getting that one for a while yet and see where it takes me. I read Captain Marvel, Assault on Eden. I thought this was the new Captain Marvel title, but it was not. It's just a one-shot, but it was fine. It was probably more significant if you were reading some of the X-Men titles. It was very X-Men-y.
Yeah.
X-Men-y. So, but it was fine. It was decent. I enjoyed it. I read a one-shot, I think it was a one-shot at least, Crypt of Shadows from Marvel. It was little shorts. It was kind of like Tales from the Crypt, but set in the Marvel universe. This is a little bit of a spoiler, so if you're going to read Crypt of Shadows and you'll be mad at me later, I already warned you. I really, really, really loved the Daredevil story because he gets a friend in Man-Thing, which was hilarious to me.
Everybody loves Ted.
I know. It was Ted. I read a lot this week, you guys. Haunted Girl. Holy Hannah Montana. Did you read that?
No.
Okay. If you or someone you love is struggling with suicidal ideation, or just suicidal thoughts and depression, be warned. There's your warning on this one. It hit. This one hit hard. I did not realize, maybe I did and I just forgot because my brain is like Swiss cheese sometimes. It is being written by a dad and his daughter. The daughter had a lot of mental health issues, was suicidal, and now she is, you know, has done therapy, is getting better, is active, you know. So they're writing this together, and it's a short series. I think it's 4 or 5 issues. And it's going to be fantastic. I can just already tell. But it was really, really good. Really, really emotional, but really good.
Good.
And then the last thing I got read was I read all 5 issues of Click, Click, Boom from friend of the show, Doug Wagner.
Isn't that great?
It was so good. It was so much fun. That was a really, really, really fun one. I really enjoyed it. And I am remiss to admit that this is the first of Doug Wagner's stuff that I've ever read. So now I need to go back and pick up all of his other things because they're fantastic.
You should start with Plastic, obviously.
Obviously.
And then go from Plastic to Vinyl.
Vinyl, right.
And then from Vinyl to Plush.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of other cool shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick up more of Doug's stuff because I really, really, really enjoyed Click, Click, Boom.
Doug is the shit. And it's important to remember that, you know, most of what he writes, like he says, it's love stories.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah, it was.
Insanely violent, fucked up love stories.
Hey, love is sometimes insanely violent.
Yep.
And fucked up.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
It's true. It's true. What about you? Do you get much read or anything
no,
read this week?
No, we're coming up to Wasatch Comic Con. That's going to be at the Valley Fair. November 10th and 11th? You can pop over to wasatchcon.com for more information on who's going to be there. But... No, I've been working on that and basically spent most of my free time. No, I'd say 95% of my free time trying to get everything there all finished, ready, printed, published, ordered. And I think I'm caught up. Out of all of the guests, there's just one who refuses to send their headshot and their bio. So they have yet to get theirs. Note how vague I'm being. Because I don't want to call anybody out because everybody's busy and there's shit going on. What are you going to do?
Right.
Anyway.
I can draw a stick figure for you for them.
There you go.
And we can make up a bio.
Yeah. But Wasatch Comic Con is not only free.
Right.
Free. It is Utah's actual comic book convention. Everybody that comes in is attached to comics and animation in some way. That's how this works. So
Doug's gonna be there, right? Wagner?
Yeah.
Utah's own Doug Wagner.
Doug's gonna be there. Phil Sebi's gonna be there. Hang on, let me bring it up really quick. You would think I'd have it memorized by now, but it just turns into a mess of colors after a while.
I'm sure.
Jim Maggin's gonna be there. He's from the Goofy movie. Adrian Ropp's going to be there. Chad Harden. Tony Rodriguez is going to be there. Tony Fleeks is going to be there. We've got some local talent in. We've got some friendly talent in. Ryan Cady, the legendary Don McGregor, will be there. Doug Wagner, Drew Zucker, Matt Wilson, Dave Barron, Mel Milton, Eddie DeAngelini. And then, Matt Page. I mean, so many. WasatchCon.com. You know who else will be there, I'm told?
Who's that?
What's his name, who usually does this show with us?
Oh, that guy. That guy.
Yeah.
Carter, right? Carter?
Yep.
J.C. Carter. That's him. That's that guy. That's the guy.
So, Andrew's going to be there. Chris is going to be there. J.C. will be there.
I will admit, I didn't realize Matt Wilson was coming until just now when you said that. I adore him.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to have to go now.
But Joni Brosas will be there.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a voice actor, cosplayer, model.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got to say, for all of the pain and headache of doing all the graphics for this show, that one hurt the least. So that's what I spent. That's what I did all week when I wasn't at the shop. And at the shop,
that is fair. Yeah. I know you have a lot going on with this. So.
Well, people seem to think that working at a comic book shop means you're just sitting around goofing off all day. And no, I have very little sit time. And on my antique knees, it sucks.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's just what it is. So I didn't get anything read this week, but. That does remind me that today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow is Wednesday. It's time for our picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, these are the picks of the week. What are your picks of the week?
My picks of the week this week, we're going to start with Independent. I am looking at from AWA, a mini, one of four, because those are my favorite. This is Red Light number one. It is being written by Sarah Cho. So the story sounds intriguing, but Sarah Cho, I loved Eat the Rich. Nope, that's not her. Just kidding. Wrong comic book. Dang it! That's my other pick. No, just kidding. Sorry. Retract that. I picked this one because it's about an AI sex worker in a futuristic red light district. And Lacey knows exactly what her clients want better than they know it themselves. Housed in a high-tech brothel under the watchful eye of the mysterious Mister, Lacey has little in her manufactured life besides work. All that changes when she befriends Natalie, an orphaned child who comes into her care. Now Lacey and Natalie are on a mission to escape the red light district, only to find themselves flung headlong into the mystery behind Lacey's creation.
Ah.
Sex robots. We're going to have a sex robot video.
I almost picked that one. I'm glad you did.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks really good. Honestly, the art, one of the cover arts is part of why I picked it, because it was just so, it just looked so vulnerable.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
No, the cover art. So, yeah. Cover art was top shelf stuff.
Right. Right. It's gorgeous. So, yeah. So that is my Independent pick of the week. How about you? What's your Independent pick, sir?
I got a couple of them from Dark Horse Comics. Canary, number one. In 1891, a mine collapsed into itself. What was the dark substance found 666 feet underground? This one's from Scott Snyder.
Yep. So, I looked at this one, too. It looked really good.
I am on board for that. And then from Ablaze Comics, Almost Dead, number one. Somewhere between pure exhilaration and sheer terror, is Almost Dead. After having an accident on her way home to visit her family, Sarah Walker awakens to find the world has changed. Now she must travel up the eastern seaboard using suppressed survival skills she learned as a child in the hopes of reuniting with her loved ones in the midst of a viral pandemic that has turned human beings into monsters. It's another zombie flick, but you know.
Well, you know.
It looks all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really appreciating the art on even just the A cover. It looks good. But yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, that's the one I'm looking forward to there. Running back into the mainstream, which means I get to talk some more. Yay.
Right. Lucky you.
They're doing a re-release of Batman Gotham by Gaslight. The Victorian area Batman encounters Jack the Ripper in the seedy streets of Gotham. This also collects the sequel, Batman Master of the Future, and Convergence, Shazam 1 and 2, character designs from Gotham, Gaslight animated film. But yeah, this one looks good. I liked Gotham by Gaslight, and this is a deluxe version that's only $20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about it 3 or 4 weeks ago, but DC is going to do less trades and more hardcovers. I don't know why.
That's so weird.
And then, I'm doing it again. I'm doing the dumb thing, and I'm going to pick up a fucking Hickman title, because apparently I miss reading novels. But this is Ultimate Universe number one. After the world-shaking conclusion of Ultimate Invasion, a new team of superheroes bands together to save the future. From Hickman and Caselli, don't miss out on this foundational issue for a new line of Ultimate Comics.
Ooh.
Yeah, what do you got, mainstream?
Nice. Mainstream for me from Marvel. Trade paperback, I believe, or maybe it's just a big long... No, it's not a trade paperback. God, I'm really off my game today. At any rate, it's Jeff, the Jeff first number one from Kelly Thompson.
Yep.
It's Jeff the Land Shark. Like, it's just adorable. It's just fun. It's just something silly and dumb that makes me happy and brings serotonin in my world.
If anybody needs a copy of It's Jeff number one, we just got copies of the third printing in this last week. So I finally have copies in store again. So you guys could pop over to Volts and pick one of those up so that you're ready for It's Jeff, the Jeffverse.
Right, yeah. Right. You should. And then this is the one. So writer Sarah Gailey is who wrote Eat the Rich. And I loved that book. She is now going to write White Widow. So White Widow number one. It's Yelena Belova. I mean, she's a rogue agent. She's the shadow of the Black Widow. We all know that. So, but this is just a new book. A new White Widow book is dropping. And I really loved Sarah Gailey's writing. So I'm going to give this a shot and see how she does with White Widow. Because, you know, it's kind of a fun character. And she's going to be featured in more of the movies. So might as well read some more about her.
Yeah. And there, as I recall, there's an Art Germ cover. So. Oh. You know, I know everybody loves those. So that's kind of
fair.
Well, I don't. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, are we doing Picks of the Future?
Yeah, next.
Next?
I was just about to introduce it. Oh, that's what I was going to do.
I thought you were going to cut me off and end the show. You've been trying to end the show for 15 minutes.
No, I was just one time. I was just once. It was 15 minutes ago. That is true. But I was just once. looking into our crystal ball to find the mysteries of days that have not yet come, it is time for our picks of the future.
Okay, that was a really good intro. I'm glad that you still did it.
Yep, I did it.
I liked it. So, again, picking up a writer that I have previously read because I like this writer. So, writer Charles Soleil, in the future from Image, is going to be releasing The Bloody Dozen, A Tale of the Shrouded College. Again, another short series, a one of six, because that's my jam, man. It's space vampires. The tagline says, space vampires! In this new installment of The Shrouded College, Charles Soleil and Will Slaney's supernatural horror adventure saga, three down-and-out astronauts are tasked with the ultimate heist, breaking a group of deadly vampires out of a space prison, orbiting the sun. Apollo 13 meets Blade in this killer thriller. I don't know. The idea of space zombies just really kind of made me laugh. Or vampires. Space vampires.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I mean, where else are you going to put the vampires?
Yeah. You put them next to the sun and then they can't escape. And yeah.
Yep.
But we're gonna break them out. How about you? What's your pick of the future, friend?
At the risk of thinking maybe I've done this one already. Because we've been in December now for a couple of weeks. And we're moving to January, I think, next week.
I think so.
But the Rat Queen's Omnibus is coming out in a hardcover. It's 1,224 pages for $125. It collects Rat Queens Volume 1, 1 through 15, the never before reprinted number 16, Volume 2, 1 through 25, Rat Queens Sister Warriors, Queens, all four one shots, never reprinted short stories, all the covers. And sketchbooks from all of the major artists who've worked on Rat Queens. I love Rat Queens. I bought it for my kids. It is respectful. It is empowering. It is women kicking ass. It passes the Bechdel test like it doesn't even know what that is.
Nice.
It's good, and I like it. So, and it's written by a dude, which is weird.
Yeah.
Odd. But, you
That's
know,
awesome,
I think we've proven over the years that sometimes dudes, you know, if they hit it from the right direction and do the right research, can actually, from time to time, write women characters without fucking it up.
I'll agree. From time to time.
Yep.
Once in a while.
Shaolin Nun, for example.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good one for sure.
You know, you got JC running around, puffing his chest out. Picking fights in public theaters, stuff like that, you know. But deep down inside, he can write a lady character, you know, like he'd walked in her ninja shoes.
Right?
I can't remember what the ninja shoes are called.
I have no idea.
But anyway, So Wasatch Comic Con, WasatchCon.com. It's got times on there, it's got dates on there, and it's got a list of the people we know are coming so far. All those announcements, we're ready to go. We're ready for you guys to come out and actually experience a creators convention where we celebrate the creators of what we celebrate each week here on this show, and that's comic books. You know?
Right.
It is a is a legitimate comic con. So join us the 10th and 11th. We'll talk about it more next week. But yeah, JC will be there. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure will.
Okay, can I end the show now?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, that's it for this week. If you give a shit, if you're a good person, you'll join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. That's your home for all the special content that we create every week that we record. We put it there behind the paywall. So just a little bit from you gets a lot from us.
Yeah.
Yeah. In addition, we got merch over on the sites. Thecomicbookpodcast.com. We've got some pretty insane, cool t-shirts and stuff there. I'll have new designs up in about a week for this show. I got to make a couple of changes and get it in format. But yeah, I've got new logo shirts for this show.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I love this one, though. We're both wearing the same.
We are.
Yeah.
This is one of my most comfortable and loved t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's like the neckline is perfect.
Yep.
It fits just right.
The fabric for me on the one I got is nice and thin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy it. All right, folks. Yeah. That's it for us. Until next time.
For Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, do that. Do that instead.
Ready? For Hell's Kitchen.
For Asgard. Balls. Miss you, Pat.